I feel bad for the salesperson because he doesn't know what else to do.
Have a conversation. It sounded like you would rather be doing anything than be on this call.
He didn't get her hooked. He didn't get her engaged.
That's a huge mistake to me. And here's why.
How do we help this person? Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis, back again. We took a small hiatus in the magic of editing. We could just pretend that we didn't take a break and that we've been recording steadily. Or we could say, wow, we took a couple weeks off or whatever, but I'm happy to be back. What about you?
I'm happy to be back, and I'm happy to just be honest with our audience. We're human beings, and every once in a while, we need a break. I think it's great, and I don't know about you, but I've been doing all kinds of stuff. I feel like I haven't had 15 minutes to breathe, and so it's good to be back here. This is still one of my favorite things that I do. I'm happy to be back.
You know, I just went to Zillow's Unlock event, and then I went to a National Labels event. And in both cases, people were coming up to me and be like, oh my God, I love Cash Call. Are you and Brian going to be doing those again? Are you still recording episodes? We need to answer the call, Brian, and put the content out there.
People want to sell. It's nice to be wanted, right?
We do it for the fans. I got a call today where, listen, he's a student, great guy. We're going to play this. I know that you're probably going to have the same reaction I had, where I died inside just a little bit when I heard this call. You know what I mean?
I do. So just like, ah, come on, man. Just
one
take that
kind of calls. But here's what I want to say about this person. What he said to me in training was, he said, hey, I had a call with this lead. I tried to get an appointment, but it didn't go anywhere and I didn't know what to do. So I want you to think about that context and then we'll talk about it, because to him, he didn't know what to do. And for you and I, as seasoned salespeople and sales trainers, it's going to be like, it's quite obvious what you should be doing here. So if you feel the same way and you're listening to this, don't worry. There is help for you. We can straighten you out. So I'm going to play this call.
Hello, this is... Hey there, how are you doing? You said, who is this? This is... Oh, hello. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing well, I appreciate you asking. Reason for my call is I noticed you had been recently searching for homes in Noblesville and the surrounding areas, so I didn't know if you were interested in making a purchase.
I am, but just right now I run a small business and we're heading into slow season coming up in winter.
Yeah, I hear
so
you.
So right now I'm just looking at a couple home prices, but I probably won't be actually trying to lock down anything until probably like the summer of next year or something.
Okay, absolutely. Well, with that being said, I would love to see if we could make something work here and see if I could be of any benefit to you. Do you mind if I keep your contact info and kind of just keep you updated on the market in that area?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, awesome. And then I'll kind of follow up with you as we get closer to that and see. And if you see anything like in the market reports that I send you that is of interest or you'd like me to kind of take a look, just give me a shout. I have no problem doing that for you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem. You have a great day.
First and 10, yeah. Less pun.
Oh my God. Yeah. Right. Oh, wow. It's like, I feel bad for the agent, the salesperson, because he doesn't know what else to do. And I think on the surface, he's just I know him way too literal about, do you want to buy a house now? No, you don't want to buy a house now. Okay, great. No. I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you when you want to buy a house. Man, where do we even start with this one, Brian? Like, what do we do? How do we help this person?
This is an interesting idea that just came up to me. I don't know. We talked just slightly about this call in the green room. We didn't go over what I didn't listen to any of the words prior to that. But so there's the concept, and it came from what you just said, literal listening. So there's two types of listening. There's literal listening where, hey, get me a glass of water. That means I want a glass of water. And then there's inferential listening. And, you know, this is great in relationships, by the way, where like my wife is an inferential communicator. What does that mean? She might say this, hey, I'm thirsty. And me being a literal listener might go, that sucks for you. If I'm a good inferential listener, I'll say, oh, that means that she potentially wants a glass of water. Hey, honey, I'm going to get up and get myself a glass of water. Do you want one too? And that's what this guy didn't do. He went, buying next summer equals I'm done. No, buying next summer equals, why do you want to buy next summer? What are you looking for next summer? What's keeping you from buying now? Well, he actually told us what's keeping him from buying now. So another good question might have been, great, so you mentioned you're in your slow season. When do things pick back up for you? have a conversation is kind of where I want to start. There's so many different ways to go here. We've got to go someplace.
Yeah. So what you just said is, hey, have a functional conversation around the concept of buying or not buying and the logistics, right? So that's a logistical, productive conversation. The other conversation you could easily have is a rapport building conversation. What's your business? What are you in the business of? How does the slow season work for you? I'm headed to my own slow season, right? Do you live in this area or do you, do you not? Like, just rapport building stuff. You know, there's like a lot of conversation that can be had here.
Let's go with the really dumbed down version. This is a great question, but like, here's the thing. If you're ever stuck as an agent on the phone with somebody who has showed some level of interest in buying or selling, here's the go-to question when you're stuck. It's not, are you qualified for financing? That's not the question, by the way. The question is, hey, out of curiosity, do you currently rent or do you currently own? If you don't have any other question to ask, ask that one. It will begin a conversation 95% of the time. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of the questions we teach as a present tense question to ask people because everybody can answer that question. Or you'll hear something interesting like, I live in my mom's basement for whatever reason. Yeah. But
at a minimum, you can begin a conversation. And I love that you broke that down into two separate areas. There's rapport building conversations, and then there's what we'll call discovery conversations. I don't know if that's exactly the verbiage you use, but that's the difference I'm hearing. And yeah, I mean, seriously, I don't know what this guy does. Like, does his slow season end in December? Does his slow season end in January, February, March? I mean, you know, what's his seasonality based on? Is it based on weather? Is it based on, I don't know, because I don't know what it does. So I've got no idea.
And I have two things that I want to share. So you mentioned one of them. One of the things that we teach in my company is follow the no. It's a phrase that people love. And you actually hit the question when you first started talking about where to go with this, which is, I'm not buying until next summer. How did he choose next summer? That's following the no. It's a question because he said the slow time is now, but how did he choose next summer, right? Or what's important about next summer? So just that's one technique that you can use is follow the no in terms of your questioning. The other thing that you can do, and this is the easy one, Brian, a lot of times, like when you and I are giving advice, in a lot of cases, like what we teach is that the least important thing is the house in terms of the questions that you're asking and things you talk about. But the house is always the easy thing for people to talk about. So if they're resisting you and don't want to talk to you, talk about the house. What kind of house are you looking for? How big do you want? Blah, blah, blah. This is another one of those situations where you can easily talk about the house. Hey, you're not going to be buying until next year. Hey, what's important about buying next year? How'd you come up with that? Or just go straight to the house and talk about that because he's so far out. Right?
Yeah.
One or the other. And we often teach follow the no. So I would want to unpack that no a little bit more and understand the functionality around business and timing for purchase, just to see if there's anything that we could do to speed that up. And if we can't, let's talk about the house, right? What are you looking at? Let's talk about your dreams, you know, so that I can have you excited about them.
Yeah, but we've got to have something that's going to make the person at least remotely remember us. Like, I wouldn't remember this salesperson because they asked me a question. I said no to it and they hung up. I know there wasn't a whole minute that took a minute and 17 seconds because I'm looking at the screen right now. But in essence, I just synopsized the entire conversation and there's really not any more to it.
Yeah. Do you want to buy a house? Not till next summer. Okay, great. Call me.
It really did. And that's
one more thing. I want to play the intro back again. Listen to this.
Hello, this is. Hey, there's. How are you doing? You said, who is this? This is. Oh, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing well. I appreciate you asking. Reason for my call is I.
It took almost 20 seconds to get to why the hell he's calling him, right? The back and forth, the hello, how are you kind of crap. These days, here's my opinion, and this is what we're seeing with clients, is that the answer rate is so low, and most phone calls where the prospect or lead doesn't know who's calling them, most of those calls are spam calls.
Yes.
And so what we're teaching right now, the advice is dispel with those formalities of how are you, blah, 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 right? Because really what every consumer wants to know, what I want to know when somebody calls me is, who are you? Why are you calling me? What do you want? And the faster you can deliver that, the better your chances are that I will give you at least a few minutes of my time. And so it just sounds like, hello, name, this is your name with brokerage. I see you registered on my website to look at homes for sale. Are you planning on buying in the next few months or just window shopping at this point? But you shove it all in there. Who are you? Why are you calling? What do you want?
Well, let me point out a couple little subtleties that I think would help. He said his entire name. I wouldn't do that. First of all, if it's Bob Smith, that's fine. I don't even know what this guy's name was. Honestly, it was a little unclear, which is one of the reasons it took 20 seconds, by the way, because the buyer went, who the hell is this? So watch the difference. Hey, this is Brian with Curtis Realty Group calling today, blah, 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 blah. Versus what this guy said, hey, this is so-and-so, first name, last name, with Keller Williams, such and such and such. Here's the thing. They're not going to remember all of that anyway. Just say you're with Keller Williams or say you're with whatever group or team you're with. And if there's a legal requirement to say your brokerage, just say your brokerage. But if there's not, then just say, like, again, my brokerage is HomeQuest Realty. But when I call people, my team is Curtis Realty Group. Hey, it's Brian with Curtis Realty Group. So you don't keep it simple for people. They're not going to remember you until they remember you anyway. You know what I mean? Like, because there was nothing memorable that happened during this call anyway. So even if he had done exactly what I'm saying, he's still not going to remember. The person's still not going to remember who he was or what he was with. Keep it simple, straightforward, and easy, quick to get it out of the way. Again, to your point, and it's funny. It's kind of had a funny story that came up for me. So you talk about how many spam calls we get. I randomly answer my phone, to be honest, because sometimes I just I get so many spam calls. And the new trick, as I'm sure you know, Dale, is they call from a local number. Like it used to be, if you called from a local number, you're like, oh, this is a person who actually wants to talk to me. Now the trick is we're going to call from a local number and it's less likely to be somebody I want to talk to, right? So this person called me the other day and there was a slight delay on the phone. You know how sometimes there's just a slight delay, and I could hear a whole bunch of noise in the background. And I thought I had gotten on the phone with a spam caller. It sounded like they were in a thing. And I was like, yeah, what do you want? Like I got cranky because I was like, damn, I got caught. I'm, you know, what do you want? Da, da, da. And the guy's like, well, I'm calling about, you know, was calling about a piece of property. And I was like, I said, hey man, I'm really sorry. It sounded like you were in a call center. I get spam calls all day long. And so, you know, please forgive me for being a little bit rude there. How can I help? And he was cool with it. He understood exactly what I was going through. I'm sure he's done it himself. So
I literally did the same thing this week. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm working on my laptop. Our phone tree for my company is getting revamped. So the calls had been routed to my phone. Somebody rings my phone. I answer it, and they say, "Oh, hey, hi, this is so and so, right?" And I was like, "All right." And I'm just like, "Who are you, and what do you want?" And she was like, "Oh, I was looking on your website, and I was wondering about pricing for training." I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize." Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a jackass. I promise.
I did. Yeah, right. So unprofessional. Yeah. So I screwed that up this week too.
So Dale and I both admit that we are humans. We do have feelings and we do get irritable. That's just, so understand that. But, you know, I'm going to set my call up a little bit here. One of the things, and I'm going to tell you some of the things that I talked to about this guy so you can listen to him in the call. I talked to him about asking better questions, and I talked to him about sounding excited to be on the phone. Because what I noticed is, he sounded irritated. Maybe that's why this is all in my, you know, I get a lot of this people sound irritated thing going on right now. But honestly, when I talk to him, I'm like, dude, it sounded like you would rather be doing anything than be on this call. And I said, and he's kind of a laid back kind of guy anyway, but I said, look, you got to pretend. And I literally use that word, pretend like you're excited to talk to somebody. If you're not, that's part of your job. You got to put this thing up. And I told him, I said, look, if you and I were sitting drinking a beer, I wouldn't be, you know, as animated as I am right now. Wouldn't have been as animated as I am. But when you're on talking to a potential person who's going to pay you $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, you might want to act interested. So, you know, listen for that. And again, it's a subtle thing. This guy's good agent. He closes, you know, 2-3 deals every month. And there's an opportunity for him to be better. Also want to queue up. This is a realtor.com live transfer. So there's about 40 seconds at the front end of this where the person's saying, hey, by the way, we've got so-and-so on the line for you. And I also want to point out that I wasn't able to ever listen to these calls until recently because Realtor.com didn't record them. And so we're about to do some new training on intro scripts, and I think you'll understand why.
Hey, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for holding on the line. I appreciate your patience. So I have on the phone, and I've shared all the information we've discussed about your home search. So I'll let the two of you take it from here. And good luck on your home search.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So you are reaching out about this property on Asylum?
Yes. I happened to drive by there, and I seen it was for sale. And right now, I have a home. Are you familiar with Asylum?
I am, a little bit, yeah.
So right there, by the way, there's two things I want to point out. So the intro script couldn't be better. Hey, they said that you're interested in 123 Main Street. Is that a property you'd like to go see, or do you have any questions? Would be my intro, or when would you like to go see the property? Some version of, hey, you've talked to another human. Now you're talking to me. Clearly you have some level of interest here. Versus, yeah. Hello.
I agree. What he said was, looks like you're reaching out about address. And just like you said, we train, when would you like to go see it, which is similar to the ALM script for Zillow. So, and yeah. I have found that we do not recommend asking if they have questions, only because frequently, unless it's your listing, and in fact, unless it's your specific listing, you probably can't answer the questions, so we don't invite them in the first place. Go straight to the appointment, and if somebody wants to stop you and say, hey, I have questions, then deal with it, but we train not to invite the questions, because in a lot of cases, you won't be able to answer them.
You know what, Dale? It's almost like you've listened to this call, because he's about to prove you right. But I'm going to move on to just a couple seconds. It was another thought that I had, and it just went away because... You know, Dan and I were talking earlier, we're younger. We're not as old, young as we once were. So here we're going to play a little bit more.
For sale. And right now I have a home. Are you familiar with Asylum?
I am, a little bit, yeah.
So that's what it was right there. You're familiar with it. Just say you're familiar with it. What he was doing was being, I want to call it overly honest. Like maybe he doesn't know that town. Maybe that's not his primary town. But the last thing you want to say is, well, I've been there, you know.
The answer is yes. There are certain questions in this life where the answer is either yes or no. You get pulled over after a party and the police officer says, have you been drinking? The answer is no, right? The answer is always no. In this case, do you know that neighborhood? And you do. Somewhat, whatever, a shred, you heard of the damn thing? The answer is yes.
Absolutely. How can I help? You know, and so, and I love that where you're going with that, Dale, because and here's another thing I've been training a lot. I don't know if this is something that you train, but the more confident we are, the better people respond to us. Like I literally trade my agents at least once a week. We talk about being confident. And I'm telling you right now, when you come in confident, people just believe you. And I don't know a better way to say it than that. And if that's something that you're struggling with, if you're listening to this call and you go into calls or you go into appointments and you're going, I'm telling you right now, learn to fake it because it is so important to your success, in my opinion.
Early in my real estate career, that's how I went in and took listings. I didn't have the 10 and 15 and 20 year track record of my competitors. I just went in acting like I knew what the hell I was doing and said as little as I needed to about what my track record was in order to just appear to have the experience and the knowledge.
And let's talk about that real quick too. I keep having all these side conversations come into my head, but like the agent who walks in and starts showing his numbers about what he sold, that's a huge mistake to me. And here's why. Maybe you sold 500 houses this year, but you only sold one in that person's neighborhood. And they go, oh, so your focus is elsewhere. Like the second you start talking about your numbers and your statistics, there's an opportunity, A, for someone to be better than you, and B, for the seller to pick apart or the buyer to pick apart. Oh, so you've only sold one house in this entire neighborhood? Well, you're clearly not my agent. crap, I was just telling you I sold 500 houses. What about the other 499? I don't care. They're not in my neighborhood. That's great. So
it'll
create an objection where one doesn't need to already exist. So,
yeah, I have definitely been in that scenario before, right? I've sold 36 houses this year, but have you sold any in my neighborhood? And I'm like, the other 36 times that I went through this process with another homeowner somehow is irrelevant to you because it wasn't within a mile of your house? That makes no sense to me.
Yes. And by the way, I agree. It doesn't matter if it's neighborhood A, B, C, D, or E. We know that as agents. We know that as trainers. But the public has perceptions, and we make assumptions that that's not important. Guess what? That's what was important to them. So I think it's really valuable. And there's ways to handle that objection, obviously. And why create it if you don't have to, right?
And not create it in the first place.
Yeah. So anyway, here's where we're at. She called about a piece of property. She's going to have some questions about it, and she has a piece of property to sell. So with that in mind, I'm going to play a little bit more.
Oh, okay. I have a home just right outside of town off of Highway 59. And so I seen that and I thought, well, I was wondering, the lot that sits on the right-hand side of the road, is that part of that lot? The house is for sale. Is that part of it?
Yeah. So here's Dale's proof that if you're not the listing agent and you ask questions, you might get asked a question that you have no freaking idea about. Now, he saves it here, but there was definitely, you could hear him going, shit, I don't know. He didn't say that, but that's what he said. So.
Yeah, he didn't, and he didn't invite them. He didn't invite the question, but he still got the question anyway.
There's like a fifth wheel or a travel trailer sitting in that lot because there's no garage. And I was wondering if that lot is attached to the home, then there could be like a shop or a garage built.
Yeah. No, it's owned by someone different. The one with the fifth wheel in it. But this one does have a studio apartment that is also on the lot. So there's a...
Yeah, I saw that. But I was just wondering because there's no, there's not an enclosed garage or a shop. So I was just wondering.
Yeah. No, it looks like they turned their detached garage into a studio apartment.
Okay. Well, then that kind of cuts that out because my husband has a boat, actually has two, and we have three cars. So I would need a garage.
Okay. So at this point, and I know I played a lot of that, but I think it was important for context. So now he's going to switch gears and go, okay, this house isn't for them. How do I sell them something else? And so a good idea, and you'll see the execution may be a little flawed.
Okay. All right.
Was it that house specifically? Or are you guys looking to move?
We're looking to move, and so I was just kind of looking for something that it has to be in the Silo area because my husband works for the city and he doesn't want to have to travel. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's completely understandable. Do you have to sell your house first?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what it's worth?
No, I don't know. Probably I would say around 420, 440, something like that.
Okay. Would you like me to do a market analysis on your home and kind of tell you what the market is telling me what it's worth?
No.
No, are you not ready to start that process of selling your home?
I want you to rewind back to just after she got done telling him or, talking about that lot and property next door before he starts into this segment that we just listened to. Because her tone, I could tell she was trying to back away from the conversation and end the conversation, and he's not reading it.
Okay. Well, then that kind of cuts that out because my husband has a boat, actually has two, and we have three cars. So I would need a garage.
Need a garage.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Was it that house specifically, or are you guys looking to move?
Listen to what she's saying. She said, all right. She was wrapping up the call. Now keep listening as she's answering him, and you can tell that she's pulled back. She doesn't want to be in this conversation. It was only about that house or that particular property, and he's not hooking her. He's not getting her engaged. So let's listen to it.
We're looking to move, and so I was just kind of looking for something that it has to be in the Slidell area, because my husband works for the city and he doesn't want to have to travel. So,
okay. Yeah, that's completely understandable. Do you have to sell your house?
Right there, she went, okay. That means
another okay. Anymore. She was trying to wrap up that call again, right? And so if he can pick that cue up, you know, this is one of those things that you have to develop as a salesperson, and you do it with more experience and more interactions with people, because you'll get that sense. Once you sense that they're pulling away from you or they don't want to continue the conversation with you, do not make them an offer. That's what he did. He didn't get her hooked. He didn't get her engaged again in this conversation, and then made a very weak offer, right? Not an assumptive offer, not an assumptive close. What's the opposite of that? It was like the dead fish handshake of closes that he gave her.
Doesn't even have a name. It's so bad, right?
Right. Doesn't have a name. I would call it the dead fish handshake is what it was. Would you like me to give you a valuation? And she was not engaged in the conversation, not engaged with him. And he did a lame, close. And she said no to the lame close. And so, I wonder, as a salesperson, I know you said he does a good amount of business. I wonder if he listened back to this, if he would hear it the same way that you and I just heard it as.
I think he would, only because I've had a conversation with him. It's oddly enough, I was in another meeting, but he actually called me back. He went and listened to the call. He's a good agent. A guy wanted to get better. I appreciate that.
Good.
And again, this isn't a horrible call. This wasn't a lay down. I want to go buy a house and he screwed that up. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done here.
I think the important part is, no, this is a little more advanced level stuff.
Yes.
That you and I can definitely hear that she was pulling away in that conversation. And we knew that she wasn't emotionally attached to it or hooked to it. And then he did the lame close. And so the value of having a sales trainer or sales manager work with you is to play that stuff with you so you can hear it, because you can start to recognize it. And look, these are things I've done before. I've definitely tried to close people that were not hooked in a conversation. That's how I know it. I've done it many times. I've also done lame ass closes to ask somebody for an action or a decision. So I know how to hear that, because I've done it too. But having somebody review that with you, point it out to you, that really sharpens your saw faster.
I agree. I have a coach, and the reason I have a coach is he hears me say things that I literally, as I say them, don't hear them. There was a thing that happened the other day, and he asked me, there's a process that you can go through. And he said, you want to do this? And I was like, why? He goes, because you just said this. And I was like, holy crap. I literally didn't even hear myself say it. And like Dale, I mean, I'm trained to listen for this stuff. So even the people who are trained to listen for it don't hear themselves. And so that's why it's so important to have a third party listen to your calls, because, I've said this for years, if I thought I was wrong, I'd change my behavior, right? But I generally don't think I'm wrong, because otherwise I would do something else. And I know it sounds like a really kind of a silly way to look at it, but it's really true. Like, most people, if they knew the right thing to do, would do it. Like, I'm not going to continue to make the same mistake over and over again if I know how to correct it and it's simple. And a lot of times it is. One of the things that I noticed, like when he keyed in on this, and this was a good observation, not that it wasn't extremely difficult to get, was that she needs a garage. The guy said, she said, my husband has two boats and we have three cars. So right there and then, I would have probably said this. Well, obviously you need at least a two-car garage, maybe a three-car garage. What's your minimum? Oh, I definitely need a two-car garage. Perfect. So with that in mind, what are the other things that might be important to you in a house? It would have been a much more natural transition. And I don't know that she would have gone into that, I don't want to talk to you mode anymore, because you would have showed that, hey, I can bring you some value here by asking you some questions and figuring out what you want. Because I would have followed up with, and by the way, I look at a lot of houses, I show a lot of property. And, if I see something that might be of interest to you, I'd be happy to give you a call and tell you about it. Or, sometimes we get new properties before they hit the market. I mean, offer that person some value. And then the other thing that I really want to talk about is, please stop asking yes, no questions unless you're closing. Here's what I mean by that. Would you like me to do a CMA? He didn't use this exact verbiage, but he might as well have. Would you like me to do a CMA to get the value of the house? And one of the women says, she said no. Mm-hmm. Where do I go from there? I mean, there's some place you can go, but man, that's a hell of a lot harder trip than watch this. Hey, out of curiosity, what's the address of the house you currently own? Oh, it's 123 Main Street. Perfect. What I'm going to do, and I just do this for everybody I talk to, so I can get an idea. I'm going to just put together a quick report for you that gives you a general idea of your house. Now, what we didn't listen to is this woman has a friend who's a real estate agent, and that person's going to help her sell the house. And if I would have had that piece of information, I would have said, great, absolutely. And by the way, it's always good to have a second opinion. I'm not saying you shouldn't use your friend, but this is what I do all the time, every single day. Now I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if the friend's going to do it for free, they're probably a part-time realtor. I don't know that, but most of us full-time realtors, we don't do shit for free, right? I don't know about you, but outside of maybe someone who is a family member, I'm not listening to a house for free. It's just
no.
Why?
You're providing a professional service. Now, if you give somebody a discount, sure, because they're friends, yeah. But no, you don't generally render professional services for free.
Right. And those of you who just went, oh, but I want you to think about this. If you're getting married and your friend's a photographer and they charge $5,000 generally to shoot a wedding, are you going to ask them to do that for free? Of course not. If you all these businesses, and for whatever reason in real estate, there's this delusion that somehow we should work for free all the time. And I don't know where that came from, but I hear it so often. If you're doing that and listen to this, stop it.
Yeah, I know.
Your friend's not going to give you stuff for free. So why should you do it to them?
Yeah, Brian, even among us, coaches, trainers in our industry vendors, we pay each other. If you're going to provide a service to me or I'm going to provide a service to you, we're going to pay each other for that service or trade or something.
Let me give you an exact example. I paid you to train one of my inside sales associates, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah, and Dale exactly. And I, we've been friends for a long time. We do this together. We hang out when we go to conferences. We're actual friends. I didn't say, Dale, would you do this for free for me? And if I did, he probably would have been frustrated and irritated by that, and rightfully so. So I asked him what the cost would be, and I paid him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, I have a consultant right now who's in the business also, has real estate tech and is a consultant and consults with other business owners. And I pay him for that service to consult with me in my own business. It's just, it's what you do.
Right. And for whatever reason, though, I think real estate has, as a whole, and again, there's plenty of people and none of our listeners, of course, but who get in this mode of I've got to do this for free. We were talking about this, and I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but we were talking this on our meeting the other day. I've sold houses to people who have made 3, 4, 5 times the amount of money that I've made, right? And they come to me in the last minute and go, hey, this thing is $500. Would you pay for it? And early in my career, I did. I'm I'm making $50,000 early in my career. And I'm working with a guy making $250,000, right? As an exec for some company. And he's hit me up for $500. And there's a reason he makes $250,000 and I only make $50,000 at that time, because I said yes. So
I said yes. I've since learned my lesson. And now I make more.
Right. I mean, think about that. Here's a guy literally making 5 times the amount of money I am and asking me to give up $500 of my commission. I can't imagine going to where he works and goes, hey, would you give me $500? They'd be like, you're insane. No, we wouldn't. But we do that as agents. And if you're doing it, stop it.
Yeah, absolutely. Value yourself. If you don't value yourself, other people won't. On that note, Brian, should we wrap up today's call?
I think we should.
Cash Call, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And we will be back again next week to teach you a little bit more about being a sales ninja. Hey, if you like that content and you want to get more, then you can click the link in here and take our free skill assessment. Our trainers will jump onto a Zoom call with you and test you in 4 key areas of your sales scripting abilities: introductions, objection handling, value proposition, and closing. So what the trainer will do is run you through a series of structured role plays and then give you immediate feedback on how you're doing getting into a conversation with your leads, which is your introductions, how you're doing on your objection handling, how you approach objection handling, your value proposition, how you're able to articulate why somebody should buy or sell with you, and your closing skill, how you're able to set a logical appointment with a buyer or seller. The trainer will test you and give you immediate feedback on where you can improve so you can book more appointments today from the leads that you already have. Thanks.